The following is rated R. It contains violence, adult language, nudity, and adult content.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome. It is 8:30 p.m. EDT on Sunday. It is June 30th, 2019, and thanks for joining us for the Fear the Walking Dead online viewing party here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm host Casey Shapiro, and special thanks to our host and sponsor, NDB Media. Tonight's show contains spoilers up through the last episode and possible information from current AMC official Walking Dead promo materials. Welcome to Season 5, Episode 5. After tonight, there will be three more episodes until the mid-season finale. Season 5 will be doing the traditional 50-50 split season, with eight episodes running until July 21st. We don't yet know when episode 9 will resume the season, but our best guess, counting back from the first Sunday in October, makes August 11th a likely candidate. We will keep our listeners informed when we get confirmation of those dates. Typically, we start this show a half hour before the new episode airs live each week, with recap from the previous episode and discussion of what is to come tonight. At 9 p.m., we'll go dark or mute and watch the new episode together and give episode ratings from 1 to 10 and commentary during the commercial breaks. We will also give our listeners trivia on the show as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more. Our show is spoiler and comic free. Please don't discuss either spoilers or the comics in the chat or on the air. We prefer our discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about what we know from the show that's presented. Call in to speak with the hosts at 914-338-0314 at any time, but especially between 8:30 to 9 p.m. If you call during the live episode after 9 p.m., you will be screened and muted until the commercial break when we can chat on the air. If the phones are not your thing, feel free to join us in our live chat room where you will be able to listen to the show real time as well as download the episode after the fact. And we usually post the links for that on our Facebook page and my Twitter. So feel free to grab the link at whatever point you're able to deal with it. And if you're unable to join us in real time this evening, you can go to each episode link later on and download the broadcast as an MP3 podcast for later listening, or you can listen to it on the website. Click on the cloud-shaped white icon at the top right of the page to download. All right, I'm double-checking the chat room. I know that one of our regulars, Joan, is planning on being here, but is going to be a little late, and that is what is going on. So let's go ahead and get started, and I know that she'll join us as soon as she can. Tonight's episode, episode 5, is called The End of Everything. The official AMC synopsis is: Althea chases a story with dogged determination, putting the mission and her life in danger. And as we often do, we have additional synopses from other sources, and I have the first one pulled up for you guys. So this first one is from FanSided, which is a product of UndeadWalking.com, and this is by Sarah Beth Pollock, one of their regular writers about this show for them. And she says, "At long last, Althea is back on Fear the Walking Dead, but this time around, the intrepid former journalist is in unfriendly territory as fans learn more about the mysterious helicopter people. In this week's, quote, The End of Everything, Al has to find a way out of a potentially deadly situation. Fans haven't seen Al since she disappeared at the end of the Season 5 premiere. Al, always after the story, decided to return the plane crash site to see what was going on with the walkers she killed. There was something about the walker's armor that bothered her, and when she returned to investigate, she discovered that he was carrying maps and other interesting information with him. Unfortunately, Al did not have a chance to investigate the story too much because she was attacked by another soldier with a stun gun. Her friends have been looking for her, and now we learn what happened and where she has been all this time. Al's determination to find the story is something that has gotten her into trouble in the past, but thanks to her tape, she was able to tell Strand where to find another plane and Daniel Salazar. Her tapes also revealed Madison's whereabouts while she was separated from her kids. This time around, Al is on her own in a very dangerous situation and no one knows where she is, so it's up to her to find a way out of this predicament. And then they give the synopsis, which I've already given to you guys. All right, hold on just a moment. I need to pardon myself for just a quick second, and I will be right back. Thank you guys for your patience while I handled a quick matter, and I have a second synopsis out of three that I want to read to you guys, and I'm pulling that up for you now. So this one is from Entertainment Weekly, and this is by Dalton Ross. This is not a source that we use every week, so it's nice that they are contributing. I like to mix it up. This was written on June 28th, and the title says, Althea's fate revealed in Fear the Walking Dead clip. And they have a short clip that was issued with the trailers. That's the opening minutes of season 5, where you can kind of get a sneak preview. And so Dalton says, the Fear the Walking Dead season 5 premiere ended with Maggie Grace's Althea being knocked out and abducted by a mysterious helmeted figure. And she's not been seen since. What happened? Where did she go? And who was behind the mask? We'll get the answers to those questions on Sunday's episode of Fear on AMC. Actually, why wait? You can start to get those answers right here and right now. That's because we have the exclusive first 4 minutes of the episode titled The End of Everything for you. Watch as Althea attempts to escape from her captor, who is finally unmasked during the ensuing struggle. It's all waiting for you in the clip above, and in the website they have the opening thing. But it was also on AMC.com, so it wasn't that exclusive, guys. And then expect more answers when the entire episode, and here's something that's going to be confusing, but I'm not going to get to it yet, says directed by Michael Satrazemis, you know, Satro, airs June 30th. In the meantime, keep theorizing about what the three-ring circle symbol means and pray for Althea. Okay, that is the second summary that I have for you guys. I'm going to double-check the chat room real quick. Still waiting on Joan. I know she said she would be late, so it could be quite a bit into the show before she gets back. She's waiting to get internet access while she is on her trip home. So I'm going to pull up the third, and this one is from bleedingcool.com. And let me pull that up for you guys. So this one says, Fear the Walking Dead Season 5, AMC highlights Rick Grimes' conspiracy clues in Skidmark recap. And this was posted by Ray Fluke, and I think I have read stuff from him before. He may be their resident Walking Dead expert, June 29th. And Ray says, so if there's still any lingering doubt as to this point that those, at this point, he has a typo, that those black helicopters we saw earlier this season, the ones that directly tie the series to the upcoming Rick Grimes The Walking Dead films, were going to play a major role in AMC's Fear the Walking Dead. They were put 6 feet under with a bullet to the brain so they don't return last week in Skidmark. That was worded really badly because it makes it sound like you're talking about the main series when you say that. In Skidmark, we have the same robo-soldiers who took Rick and Althea, now directly connected to Bailey Gavulik's Annie, Cooper Dodson's Dylan, and Ethan Seuss's Max, but what could it all mean? For a look back at how last week's episode Skidmark tied into the Walking Dead universe's bigger conspiracy, check out our spoiler-filled review here. Now, of course, they're reviewing last week, so spoilers don't count anymore because that episode aired. For those interested in an episode reminder, the fine folks at AMC have you covered with an official recap. But first, spoiler alert! Okay, you know, last week's episode, so no longer a spoiler. Okay. So, the end of everything, a look ahead. They have a spoiler warning on it, but it's stuff that's in that first 5 minutes that was an official issue, so that doesn't really count. So it looks like this week we're going to see what went on with Althea leading up to that scene in Skidmark where Max and Annie see the mysterious black-suited assailant who took Althea, dispose of some walkers, and then leave with two cases, and after. What follows are the first nearly 4 minutes of the week's episode, The End of Everything, which wastes no time getting to the conspiracy theory fun and showing us the face of Althea's captor. In the following promo and sneak preview, it's clear that Althea gets loose, but her attempts to reach out for help are met with a not-too-friendly face and the wrong end of a gun. Yes, again, this is in the trailer, so not that big of a spoiler. Earlier this year, Fear the Walking Dead cast member Alexa Nissenson, ex-Vulture Charlie, was promoted from recurring to series regular for the upcoming season. Joining Nissenson are Karen David from Legacies and Gallivant as series regular Grace, and that's the lady who's been chasing down all the infected that came out of that nuclear reactor. The Walking Dead alum Austin Emilio reprising ex-Savior Dwight, and the returning Reuben Blaines is Daniel Salazar. We already know all this stuff. Okay, Bailey plays Annie, we know that. Cooper plays Dylan, Ethan plays Max, blah, 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 blah. Matt Frewer also joins the cast as Shady Denim Factory co-owner Logan, from whom we have not heard anything since that one episode introducing him. So you got to kind of wonder why they went to the bother to point at him and then haven't anymore. Now they make mention, this is a no-no, they make mention of Daniel Sharman reprising as Troy Otto again, which is ancient history, so please, Ray, do your homework. I know I scolded you once before and I was in the wrong, but this time I'm in the right because AMC showrunners have said that's not happening. So that rumor is kind of like a walker, and he needs to get shot in the head and go away. It's over. Troy Otto is over. Please stop. Okay, double-checking the chat room. Still alone. Joan, we miss you. Hope you can join us soon. All right. Next part, writers and directors profiles. I have a little bit of some awkward confusion going on from some of my regular sources. Up until this week, they have been announcing for a long time now that Sarah Wayne Callies, who played Lori Grimes, is the director for tonight. And as the article just said, and also as has been changed on one of my regular sources, they're claiming that Satro is director tonight. And I don't know what's up with that. I don't know how to settle it until we see the episode and it'll say who the director is and then we'll settle it. So anyway, since I don't know if it's Satro or if it's Lori, Sarah, I'm going to give you profiles for both of them. And there's certainly no harm in that. So tonight's episode is written by Andrew Chambliss and Ian Goldberg, and that was not available until now. And it is listed by some sources as directed by Michael Satrazemis and some by Sarah Wayne Callies. And let's go ahead and profile Andrew Chambliss and Ian Goldberg, who have been co-showrunners since season 4. Ian Goldberg has been co-executive producer and showrunner with Andrew Chambliss since the start of season 4 of Fear. We have profiled him extensively previously. Goldberg also worked on Once Upon a Time as a writer and producer, as well as other TV shows. He has previously written or co-written 5 episodes of Fear. Well, maybe 6 now. Pardon me, I need to correct that typo. That would be 6 episodes of Fear. And that would be season 4, episode 1, What's Your Story? Episode 2, Another Day in the Diamond. Episode 8, the mid-season finale, No One's Gone. Episode 13, Blackjack. Season finale, episode 16, I Lose Myself. And season 5, opener, episode 1, Here to Help. Tonight will be his 7th episode that he has written for this franchise. Andrew Chambliss is the co-showrunner for Fear since season 4 opened. He has also been profiled multiple times before. Chambliss has been heavily involved as a producer for Once Upon a Time for several seasons from 2012 to 2017. He has been a story editor for Vampire Diaries, Spartacus, Dollhouse, and Bionic Woman 2007. Chambliss has written or co-written, and again, much to fix my own typo, apologies, 6 prior episodes of Fear. The season 4, episode 1, opener, What's Your Story? 2, Another Day in the Diamond. Season 4, mid-season finale, 8, No One's Gone. Episode 11, The Code. He has not co-written everything with Ian. That's what's interesting. Episode 16, I'll Lose Myself. And season 5, opener, Here to Help. Tonight will also be his 7th episode written for the franchise, but not the same 7. Okay, so here's where it gets a little ham-fisted, and I apologize. So one of my sources may have the wrong director. I'm giving you a profile for both, and I will have to see the opening credits to see which one is correct. So they have listed Michael Satrazemis, or Satro, and Sarah Wayne Kelly. So I'll do Satro first. Michael Edison Satrazemis, nicknamed Satro, is known for his work on The Walking Dead. Also, The Crow, 94, and Anchorman 2, The Legend Continues, from 2013. He has done camera work for many TV shows and movies, also including My Cousin Vinny, Leverage, The Vampire Diaries, Teen Wolf. He directed an episode of Stranger Things and more. Mike may have been some form of camera operator for 15 episodes of The Walking Dead, starting with Guts, Season 1, Episode 2, in 2010. He has been second unit director of photography for 3 episodes until 2013. Then director of photography from 2013 to 2017, ending with Monsters Season 8, Episode 3. He has directed 14 prior episodes of The Walking Dead. Well, I guess it would be 15 if it's him. Starting with The Grove, Season 4, Episode 14, and up to, well, no, I guess it would be 14. Up to Season 8, Episode 14 is still going to mean something. His last Walking Dead work before this, yeah, because that's the other series where he's done 14. His last Walking Dead work before this was directing 4 prior episodes of Season 4 of Fear. The last one prior to now, let's see, Season 4, Episode 16, I'll Lose Myself. He is slated to direct the Season 5 mid-season finale, Is Anybody Out There? Episode 8. It did not mention he was supposed to direct tonight, and I think it's an error, but just in case it's not, I wanted to give him a profile. So, Sarah Wayne Callies, who I believe is the director tonight, I'm going to double-check the chat room just to see if Joan is here. She is not. That's fine. I usually enjoy her commentary, so I was hoping she could catch us. Sorry. So, Sarah Wayne Callies, best known for playing Lori Grimes on The Walking Dead, was originally listed as director of tonight's episode, and we apologize for any confusion otherwise. So, Sarah is from LaGrange, Illinois, graduated from Punahou High School in Honolulu, Hawaii, graduated from Dartmouth College in Hanover, New Hampshire in 99, with an undergraduate emphasis in feminist studies and a senior fellowship in indigenous theology. Graduated from Denver's National Theater Conservatory in 2002 with a Master of Fine Arts. She was voted one of Maxim's The Hottest Women of Fall TV 2008. On July 21, 2002, Callies had married Josh Winterhalt, who she met at Dartmouth College. Winterhalt is a martial arts teacher. She speaks basic Hawaiian and enjoys traditional Hawaiian music. She likes to dance the Argentine tango and has taken up low-flying trapeze. Currently, they are living between Atlanta, Canada, and Los Angeles. She has 2 children with her husband, Josh, a daughter, Kiala Wayne, and a son, Oaks Wayne. Obviously, Winterhall, obviously. Callies has 28 acting credits since 2003, including Prison Break, The Long Road Home, Colony, and obviously The Walking Dead. She has 2 prior director's credits for Unspeakable and Colony. Tonight is her first time directing an episode anywhere in the Walking Dead franchise, assuming it is her, and we will find out in 10 minutes. It's 8:50 p.m. All right, so trivia about tonight's episode. So all I know about tonight is that it is the 58th episode of the series overall. We don't have any upcoming trivia, but we have some from stuff for last week. So last week's episode, Skidmark, is confirmed in this episode that the season takes place in October. The date shown on Daniel's calendar at the beginning is October 12th, and he changes it to the 13th. It is October 14th at the end of the episode. This means that season 8 of the main show also took place in or around October a year before the events of this season. And I always get really confused by this because I've always sort of felt like they didn't work out the timeline properly. And I don't know if there are websites where they have. Joan, if you listen to this later on, I have a couple of websites that purport to have reconciled the timeline, but they were written before a couple of these time jumps. So I don't know how accurate they actually still are. But I may feed those to you later and see if you want to chase them down. Okay, this episode is the third episode of the companion series, meaning Fear, where the episode title is a character's name, the first being Pablo and Jessica. And I don't remember, they didn't mention what the second one was, so I'd have to go back and look. It is revealed that Charlie spent weeks at the Del Diamond Baseball Stadium before she was discovered as a spy for the Vultures. And I see that Joan has just snuck in, so I want to welcome her real quick. Thanks for joining us, because I know you're doing it. I'm hoping you can hear me, and I'm going to go ahead and continue with trivia for last week. Daniel reveals that his hatred of Strand is not for shooting him in the face, but deceiving him about Ophelia as seen in burning in water, drowning in flame. As a result, Daniel never got to say what he needed to Ophelia before she died. Daniel explains that he inherited his warehouse from the man who set all of the deadly traps he has been disarming. At the end of the episode, he states that he stayed there for so long to do something, and he must continue his work. Strand comments on the plane, "Not my style or my color." No, that's grammatically very ham-fisted. His comments on the plane are a callback, is a callback, that's not right, are a callback to when he saw Elena Stowe's wedding gift for her daughter, a car, and commented, "My style and my color," in the episode The New Frontier. Daniel reveals that he was given a cigar by someone for when things got better, possibly referring to Abraham Ford, as he is known to smoke cigars. And if you guys remember, this is not in the trivia, but I happen to remember this. If you guys remember, there is some hinting that's been going on that one of the tapes that Al had was a tape of Abraham and Rosita and Eugene back when they were coming from Texas up. So we may see something of their prequel story. And it has also been implied that they might actually play pieces of that out, and in which case they might bring a couple of the actors back for different things. Not really sure if that's confirmed or just wishful thinking. But anyway, you know, that's kind of out there. The tape at least exists, and I'm sure they'll bring the actors back to enact whatever's on that tape at some point when someone figures that out. Okay, back to the trivia. It's 8:54, so we'll try to see what we can get there. When Charlie tells Daniel about her past, she is presumably speaking about her time with the Vultures, though she doesn't mention them by name. Max, Annie, and Dylan are revealed to be part of a larger group of children, the children of the people who perished at Camp Cackleberry. The episode leaves it unclear if any of the kids have radiation sickness, as their parents did, from the camp's fight with the radioactive herd. Morgan reveals to Alicia part of what happened to his wife, Jenny, and son, Dwayne. Morgan's comment suggests, and I mentioned this last week, Joan, if you remember, I was poking at this. Morgan's comment suggests that he may have never put down Dwayne, as he tells Alicia that his wife was Jenny and his son is Dwayne. John Dory, June, and Dwight are mentioned to be out looking for Sherry. During the episode, Morgan encounters a walker at a bird trap and checks its chest before putting it down. This is a reference to the episode The Hurt That Will Happen, where it's revealed that Grace put up bird traps for walkers, one such trap ultimately costing Morgan his staff. Morgan checks the walker to ensure that it doesn't have a decimeter and is thus not radioactive before putting it down. Joan had a couple of comments. Got here as soon as I could, and yes, I can hear, thanks. I'll listen to the recording tomorrow to get what I missed. Okay. Marvie. Okay. Morgan continues to use an old pipe due to losing his staff. And again, as Joan and I fussed last week, the staff is not magic. It's like his third or fourth one because he's lost it a couple times, including having it broken in half as a plot device. It is later taken by Annie when Morgan and Alicia disarm, and she hangs onto it afterwards, apparently for use as a walking stick due to her leg injury. The cat playing Skidmark is, as of now, unnamed. Also uncredited cast, actress Sydney Lemon, female, as Isabel, soldier and pilot for CRM and Althea's kidnapper. And there were no goofs, errors, or bloopers designated from last week's episode. 8:56, and cast birthdays this week. Actress Nadine Marissa Richard, who plays Nabila, Kingdom Gardener, and Jerry's girlfriend, July 4th, and she's from Houston, Texas. And Pruitt Taylor Vince, who played Otis, Green Farmhand, season 2, and his birthday is July 5th, and he's from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, so let's give them some happy birthday applause. Thank you guys for your work on the show. Joan has a quick comment on what I said earlier, and she says, I remember that as well, referring to what Morgan said. I know we don't reference the comics, but this may have been an intentional or an accidental referral to something in the comics because of something that Morgan does in the comics. And so it may be oversight that they did not keep the two plot lines straight and cleaned up. She also says, I don't think Morgan let Dwayne continue as a walker in the TV series. I don't see that as being plausible. I really just don't know because Dwayne was with him for a while. And I'm a little unclear exactly how the wife got hold of him. I really just don't know how half of this shakes down. But that's fine. It's just, it's a kind of a loophole in the whole thing. And it seems to be a mild bit of a continuity error, but I'm not really sure. Featured music. Somebody finally did catch one of the songs from last week. The song that Daniel plays is Death Letter Blues by Son House, S-O-N, House. And that's a song he's playing in the car and on his boombox to lure away the walkers. Unaccounted for characters, we're going to skip. Talking Dead, we're going to skip. As a reminder, there isn't Talking Dead, at least until after the mid-season finale. We still do not know why. Joan, if you happen to find out why, let me know. They have not mentioned it that I can find. It is 8:59, and there's the helicopter going away, so I think we're going to probably go mute in just a second because we're about to go to the live show. Not really sure. Real quick, I'm going to go over the rest of the mid-season. Okay, so episode 6, The Little Prince next week, writers not mentioned, director Sharat Raju, July 7th. Episode 7, Still Standing. Director Marta Cunningham, writers not mentioned, July 14th. And episode 8, mid-season finale, Is Anybody Out There? Writers not mentioned. Director Michael Satrazemis, July 21st. And then we'll have a break until sometime in August, TBA. All right, this is the new episode coming up, so I'm going to shut up and I'll let you guys go until the first break. Okay, guys, it's 9:05 p.m., so let's go ahead and get some scores up. I'm going with 5-7-5. Joan is starting at a 6. She also had another comment I didn't get time for earlier. She was mentioning that Morgan was way too crazy after losing Dwayne. The wife got into their living situation before he had set all the traps, the axe in the doorway, et cetera, and Dwayne froze when he saw her. I remember Morgan describing that to Rick in the episode Clear. I tried to research that today, the Talking Dead thing, like why aren't they having it? And AMC is very quiet about it. There's no statement as to why they're magically just not doing the Talking Dead. And at least last time when there was a controversy about Chris Hardwick, you could find information, and now there's not. Also, Jonah has added, wasn't Althea knocked unconscious and taken captive? She obviously got free somehow, and with her camera, too. Yeah, and I don't know about the consistencies on that, so not really sure what's going on. So I really don't know what to tell you guys about that. So anyway, let me go ahead and go back to my notes. And we have gone down. I do have one discussion link for you guys, and the rest I may be doing interviews, unless there's something in specific you guys want to talk about. Let's see here. Discussion link I'm pulling up for you guys. It did have to do it tonight. It's from Forbes by a guy named Paul Tassi, T-A-S-S-I, written today. And he has an article that says, you should definitely watch tonight's Fear the Walking Dead, even if you've bailed. Well, you know, I like to think nobody's bailed. I can understand some people are frustrated with the show for whatever reasons. You know, that's up to them. But he did make some interesting points that I want to read to you guys if we get enough time. Now, I do see, we are back, so I'll read them to you after the next break. Talk to you soon. Okay, guys, it's 9:14. That took a little while to the next break. That's kind of interesting. All right, so Jonah's at 6:05. I'm going to be 6:25, I think. And Joan mentions, well, good to know Al still has her journalist courage, although maybe not a lot of self-preservation or sense. Okay, self-preservation is there, but could use some more sense. I don't know. The thing is, in this situation, they don't have anything over her. Okay, yeah, break her legs. But ultimately, if they kill her, they have no freaking idea where that tape is. That's the thing with these sorts of one-upsmanship games. And they sort of ignore that in a lot of scripts. You can call somebody's bluff, and it can only go so far with your hands up the baseball bat before somebody really doesn't have anything more. Okay, so we have this article by Paul Sassy that I didn't get to read to you because we went ahead and went dark. So I'm going to go back to that. And he says, I have been pretty mixed about season 5 of Fear the Walking Dead so far, as even if it's not the utter disaster that season 4 was, it's still miles away from the quality of season 3. I will grant him that. And yet that has changed with at least one episode tonight, which is the end of everything. The main point of this season so far has been unraveling the mysteries of this new zone the Fearcast has found themselves stranded in. And so far that's included a child army and the presence of a familiar-looking group of baddies. That would be the helicopter people, as the Walking Dead viewers call them. They're the ones who were working with Jadis and who ended up rescuing Rick. Now they've shown up in Fear the Walking Dead, which is technically taking place 6 to 8 months before Rick is taken. And tonight's episode is our first real dive into the group, albeit one that still leaves a lot of questions open on purpose. And I'm not so sure that their timing is correct, as I have mentioned. I don't think the timelines are reconciled, but we can deal with that another time. So, Maggie Grace's Al was abducted by the helicopter people several weeks ago, and we heard nothing from her since. But tonight's episode is focused entirely on her and her helicopter person captor, which is not a group, but just one woman. And for the first time, we actually get to see someone from this group and hear them speak. I can't get into the real detail until the episode airs, which is now, but if you've ever been a Walking Dead fan, you may want to watch this episode for two reasons. Number one, it's a good episode. The focus on these two characters alone works, and it's a harrowing, touching episode at the end that I haven't seen from Fear in a very long time. Both Maggie Grace and the helicopter actress, I don't know her name, and I mentioned her in the trivia, and I will go back up and tell you who that is. It is Sydney, S-Y-D. N-E-Y, Lemon, L-E-M-M-O-N, and the character is Isabel, I-S-A-B-E-L-L-E. She's a soldier and pilot for CRM and Althea's kidnapper. So hopefully Sydney gets on the credits for this one. Both Maggie Grace and the helicopter actress are extremely good, and Grace hasn't really gotten a chance to shine as Al until now. Number two reason, it contains at least some measure of information about the helicopter people. Not a ton. And I'll go over it in more detail tomorrow, but as this is the first time we're hearing from this group directly, it points to what the overall purpose of the group may be and what we might expect from them in the future, be that in Rick's movies or elsewhere. But yeah, that's kind of all I can say for now, given I don't want to give anything else away. Just know that this is a solid episode with at least some measure of information about the mystery group. I'm not sure how much we're going to learn after this, but I'll definitely check tonight's episode for the reasons above. See you after. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, so that's Paul and his opinions about stuff. And we still have stuff going on. We're not back yet. So what I will do is, now that I've read that to you guys, I'm going to stop real quick and let you know about some upcoming shows on NDB Media. Right now, I only have information for the ones I'm running. So July 7th, next Sunday, join us for episode 6, which is called The Little Prince, obviously a reference to the book that Charlie had, 8:30 p.m. as usual. And then the following Wednesday, the 10th, Rock and Roll Shrink radio show at 11 p.m., episode 73, The Dunning-Kruger Effect, part 2 of 2. Would love to see you guys then. Part 1 of 2 aired last Wednesday. And you can listen to that on the website and get caught up with that. So we have interviews with the cast as links. We have Lenny James, Ray McKinnon, who is Proctor John, Walker, Diana, Mel, Naomi, Charlie. And what I may do is just grab a random one. Okay, we are back. I'll shut up. See you guys at break number 4. Okay, guys, it is 9:29. We're at break number 4, I believe, and Joan is up to 6:75. I'm going 6:05. Not really intentionally, just a little tiny bit of a lower take. I noticed it's interesting in the last scene. They had a walker that was slightly heavier, which has been an interesting deviation from their typical casting. And I understood in the beginning why they really just wanted the walkers to be super, super thin people. But as people pointed out, over time, you're going to have lots of people passing away and becoming walkers and being out there for a while who are not very thin. So it was interesting because I saw somebody who was a walker in the last scene who wasn't very thin. Just wanted to point at it as a person who is not very thin and kind of really wanted to be a walker when I was in Atlanta. Anyway, Joan also points out they act like Morgan's stick is as important as Al's camera. Yes, a lot of people really do. And I get Al's camera because it's kind of honestly an older format. And if it goes missing, I don't think you can just pop into a store and get another one because it is somewhat obsolete and a lot of them are going to be hard to find. So I don't really know what's up with that. At any rate, I was going to go through some profile stuff for you guys. And what I think I may do is this is going to go back a little ways, but I want to go ahead and just get this out of the way. So I've got two interviews with Lenny James, who played Morgan. Pardon my hiccups. Sorry, guys. And I wanted to talk to you guys about this just to see what he has to say, because one was done when he was attached to The Walking Dead, and then one was done when he moved over. So this is actually from Siobhan Bell, and this is 2 years ago. But I never got a chance to read it to you guys. And a lot of these, they get a little outdated as the series ends up going on. But I thought you might find it interesting to see what he has to say between being attached to The Walking Dead and then being attached to Fear. All right, so this is an interview with Lenny James, who plays Morgan Jones. And at this part, he's talking about making it 100 episodes with the show, trading a fighting stick for a firearm. Thank you! Here they go and mentioning it. And how Morgan is adjusting to a world of violence. Question, as someone who appeared in the very first episode, what was it like being part of the 100th? Answer, was a chance for us to take a moment and look what we've done and how far we've come. For me, having been there on the first episode and then on the 100th episode, added a particular perspective in the journey and on the show. It was good to acknowledge that and to acknowledge the work that both the cast and crew have been putting in. Question, how different was it filming the first episode versus the 100th? Answer, with the first episode, we were filming on a planet we'd never been to before. We didn't know whether or not the show would get a second season, let alone 7 more. We did 6 episodes the first season, and I only did one of them. At that particular moment, I had no guarantee or real sense that my job on the show hadn't ended at that moment. Now it's a completely different beast. We had no idea with if we would be successful in making the show we wanted to make or if the audience would like or watch. We had no comprehension that they'd be as committed to it as they have been. We have an understanding of ourselves now in the world that we didn't have before. It's exactly the same, and it's completely different. All right, question. Morgan has taken up a gun and the survivor's mission against the saviors. Did that take getting used to after leaning on the fighting stick for so long? Answer, it did, but it's a change. But one of the things I like about playing Morgan is that no change is small with him. And we have a trailer for Preacher, so I think we're going to go back. I'm going to pause here, and we're back. I'll see you guys at break number 6, and I'll continue the Q&A. Okay, break number six, and Joan and I are now about on the same page, 6, 7, 5, where she's staying and I'm going up. Pardon. So I had brought up, and I kind of missed a point. I had a few friends on Facebook, and guys, if you listen to the show or if you watch my wall, Sunday nights belong to the show for The Walking Dead, so please don't message me with stuff that's not urgent and someone's on fire or dying. So I had a lot of interruptions, and I missed some things. What had become of the old vehicle where Al grabbed her stuff out of it and where they were sleeping? I don't understand. How'd they get the tent up high? And I don't really understand how a few of those things happened. Joan is not really clear. And it looks like the copter girl has some experience in pitching a tent in the air, but it didn't show her doing it. Also, they're having like this serious bromance, bro-ess-mance, between these two guys. The tension is super thick. And no, oh, you have to kill me because of operational protocols. So there's this whole, I totally want to do something with you, but now I have to kill you, whatever, blah, 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 blah. Okay, 6, 7, 5. Let's go back to Morgan's interview with Lenny James. They do have a trailer for something called Stuber in theaters July 12th. I assume this is a movie. I don't know anything about it. And now we have an AutoNation commercial, so I can go back and start reading things. Okay, so we're talking about Morgan taking up a gun. And, you know, we're all fussing, Morgan's stick, blah, blah, blah. And this just proves Joan and my point. And Morgan had let his stick go multiple times as plot devices. So this is really kind of dumb. Continuity people, stop it. Okay. Continuing. The fact that he's using a gun is about where his head is at this time, 2 years ago. Morgan is in a hurry to get to the other side of this war so he can get back to some semblance of peace and try to discover whether it's possible to live in this world with a sense of respect for human life and its preciousness. I think the gun is much about expediency as it is about self-preservation. Question. In episode 2, season 8, I believe, Morgan is bent on killing the savior responsible for Benjamin's death, but Jesus stops him. What did Benjamin mean to Morgan? We have Walking Dead fan club rewards. The code is story chasing, one word. And we also have a trailer for what looks like an episode of Nosferatu, so we'll probably be back in a hot minute. I will read. No, this is only on Netflix, so maybe not. Maybe something else. Stranger Things, possibly? Answer. For Morgan, Benjamin was an attempt to belong. It was him putting down roots. When the king asked him to join the kingdom, he was reluctant because he wasn't sure if he was staying. It was a way of him saying, I want to see if I can stay here and whether or not I can be with people and care about people again. It's no accident that Morgan wears Benjamin's armor despite the fact it's about 7 times too small for him and protects him in no way, shape, or form. He wears it to remember the loss, but also to align himself with the kingdom and say, I'm in. The two best manifestations of his sense of community are his relationships with Ezekiel and with Carol. It was also an opportunity for Morgan to rebuild his life amongst people who didn't necessarily know his history. He took a chance, and Richard and Jared took that away from him. He took the risk of taking on a mentee, and it could have possibly grown into a father-son relationship. He risked all of that, and it was taken away from him. It opens up the deepest wound that Morgan has, which is the loss of his son. All right, I'm watching the T-Mobile commercial. We got a little time. Question, how did Benjamin's death change Morgan's view of the saviors and the larger war? And we are back, so I'll shut up. I'll see you guys at break number 7. Okay, guys, we're break number 7. Jones got a 7, and I've got a 7, and there's a lot of lucky 7s going on here. Okay. So Jonah said, yet another group of things that can rebuild civilization their way, and their way is the only way. Yeah, it's getting to be a tired trope when you have this many seasons of a show. You need to come up with something new. All right, so we've done our rating, and let me go back to Morgan's interview. All righty. So, question. How did Benjamin's death change Morgan's view of the Saviors and the larger war? Answer. I don't know if at the end of Season 7 or even at the beginning of Season 8, Morgan has taken on some kind of sense of the whole, in the sense of the war as a whole. What he's taken on is that in order to get to the person who killed Benjamin, he has to side with Rick in this war. Once he gets there, he's forced to deal with the complexities of the position he holds, the beliefs that he holds, and the people he's around, not least Jesus. Initially, just like he was trying to do at the end of Season 7, before Carol stops him, he was just going to walk straight ahead and kill everyone in his way until he got to Jared, even if that meant killing Negan. That's the mindset he has. Episode 2 is when he realizes it's a bit more complicated than that. And last question. Morgan originally had trouble adjusting to Rick's rule and the level of violence he'd be expected to partake in. Does he still struggle with that? Answer. He's still struggling, and he'll continue to. It's an ongoing thing. It's not an arbitrary belief. He's not doing it to be contrary. He's doing it because he truly believes that all survivors across the board of Alexandria, of the Kingdom, of the Hilltop, all of them who have gotten to this stage know how to survive against the Walkers. What we don't know yet is how to survive among ourselves. He's saying, let's start at the premise that all life is precious. Let's start with trying to respect and preserve our lives and find a compromise that means we can all live together rather than trying to destroy each other. The difficulty for Morgan is that in order to get to continue that conversation, he has to go to war. Okay, so that is the 2017 interview with Lenny James, who plays Morgan. And I'm going to go ahead and move that down to my pile of articles that I have read you guys, which I just keep so that I don't repeat them. And then I don't know, it's 9:55, so I don't know that we have time for the other one this week. We may have to do that next week. We are in commercials right now, so I don't know if I really want to open that up. I don't know. Joan, is there anything that you want to chit-chat about as far as the show goes? I know you missed the very beginning, so I really don't know if there's anything on your mind per se. I did not have as many articles to chit-chat about as I would have liked to have had. So I'm kind of vying for a little bit of time here. And there's some very weird shit on the State Farm insurance commercial. A guy doing something very odd with his moves like Jagger. All right, you know what? I may go ahead and open this up and just take a peek. Well, no, you know what? It probably not. I'm going to go ahead and go over the unaccounted for characters, just give us something to think about, talk about, because I haven't brought it up. So, reminder, Daniel Salazar has been dealt with. Taka, Kelataka Walker, and Lee, Crazy Dog, Proctor John, Diana, Tracy Otto, because I'm not letting go of Emma Caulfield, I'm sorry. And we don't know how Passage fits to Season 3 or Season 4 or anything at all. And if it didn't, that's pretty lame. And we don't know why they did not do another webisode during Season 9 of Walking Dead Classic. Because normally they do one and then they get to 16 episodes and it fits in with the upcoming Season of Fear. And they didn't do that this year. And I suspect it has something to do with why Red Machete really sucks. Sorry, guys. I love you guys. And the first two webisodes were really awesome. And then you blew the format. All right, we've got a trailer from Spider-Man, and we're going to be back in a minute, or at least we have a trailer from Walking Dead. So it's just about getting Fear of the Walking Dead, get AMC Premiere, and get that stuff early. And then we're going to another trailer for another show. The must-watch episode of something I don't recognize. Greetings from Christmas Land. I don't know if this is the Nosferatu thingy. Yes, it is, Nosferatu. And they've been pushing that on right afterwards, and I guess it's getting a chance because we're not doing Talking Dead. And it's coming up shortly. So I'll shut up. Last break. Okay, guys, it is 10:08, and we are ending the show. Joan is on 75. I'm going to stay at 7. Last couple little comments that we had since the last one. She says, I'm glad to see Alice back, but ready for the group to be back together already. And she said, the season is opening up storylines and leaving too many hanging. It feels like too many questions, not enough answers. But I had pointed out it's only 8 episodes in. They have time to resolve the whole season. And she said, they do have time, but I'm not a fan of leaving so much in limbo across so many episodes. And I think that's a fair point. I think they need to not do so many at one time. Also, I totally called it as far as the sexual tension between the two of those, Isabel and Al. So that's cool. All right. And we'll see where that goes. You know she's going to be back again. I really hope that actress gets a credit. They went through so much to expose her plot line and make her relevant, and she didn't even get credited on all this. So I hope to heck that changes. So Al and the group are back together. Kind of giggled about Al revealing her Polish hyphenated last name, which I got to go back and find. Joan is ending on a 725. I'm at 7. And Jonah said this Nosferatu show is so not worth losing Talking Dead for several weeks. That's the only hint she could find for AMC not airing Talking Dead. I strongly feel that Nosferatu was put there after some decision to not do the Talking Dead happened, and they needed a filler. And I haven't been watching Nosferatu. I haven't been keeping up. I don't need to pay attention to one more show. So not really sure what's going on with all that mess. But I really want to find out why we don't have Talking Dead. I like Chris Hardwick. I like the discussions and everything. So anyhow, it's kind of late. I'm going to let you guys go for now. And next week I'll read you some more from the Morgan story, as well as everything else that's going on and some other articles and things for you. Joan, appreciate you as always. Thanks for joining us. And see you guys next week for episode 6, which is The Little Prince. Thank you for joining us and good night.